I just get the sense that it maybe all three of you or one of you, there's something prophetic that's going to come on, that's going to come out, or that you might even have a question about something that will trigger that. And I'm not sure if it's all three of you. I think it pretty much is. So if there's something that's been, you know, stirring you up or that you've been looking at to try to get an answer for, I think it's something we need to share just right now at the beginning, and then we'll go on into the teaching part, if that's okay with you guys.
Wow. Yeah.
Is that for you, Lizzie?
Okay.
Okay. Is there something going on, Lizzie?
Well, like, I have had this question about, I asked Lisa to pray for me about, like, evangelism.
Evangelism?
I feel like this burning in my heart, but I don't know how to be led by the Spirit in that area.
Okay.
So I was going to ask for prayer.
Okay. But, well, we'll do that to start with. Okay. The one thing I will say, well, actually, I'll go into, this is really good, because I wasn't, see, Holy Ghost hadn't given me what we were doing today, you know, and I said, usually I know like 5 minutes before, but he didn't even give me that today. He just said, you'll know when you start, you know, and I went, okay. So, what I'm getting what it is, as you're saying that, it's really about being Spirit-led in, you know, in all things, and knowing what that looks like practically. Ashley, can you mute your thing or stop moving around, because it's really loud on the recording, please? So it's about being, you know, like practical. You know, how do you apply being Spirit-led in a practical sense? And you can't be practical with Holy Ghost in the sense that you do a formula. That's impossible. Okay, but
yeah.
you can be practical in the sense that, well, I, like yesterday, for instance, I had to go to the doctor, which, you know, is like, to me, you know, a criminal offense. You know, I just don't go to doctors. It was like the last place I wanted to be. It's like, you've got to be kidding, Lord. This is against everything I stand for. And I'm not saying other people shouldn't go to doctors. It's nothing, no judgment on anyone that does. Personally.
Yeah. I hate going.
Yeah, personally, it's just not something I'm going to do. And so I'm in there telling them that I never go to doctors, you know, basically telling them all about ministry, telling them about what we're going to do in Africa, all this stuff. And there's a lady that, you know, Holy Spirit. And there were so many, I mean, come on, everybody in the doctor's office needs prayer, right? You know,
yep.
Obviously you're sitting there because you're sick. And I'm looking, and I was looking at this old man, and he was with his wife, and the wife looked really shut down. You know, and the man had two hearing aids, and he must have been 80 plus, you know, whatever. And you could tell he had skin cancer because he had all these lesions or something on his nose and forehead. And, you know, and I knew I wanted to see him as well. I didn't ever get to him. They went out to the parking lot before me, and I didn't get there. But this other woman was just so highlighted. So, Lizzie, this is the thing that he's going to reveal to you. With evangelism, you know, I mean, the style of evangelism that we're usually told is a free-for-all. You know, everybody, okay, stand in the pulpit and just pour it out, you know, and those who come, come, and those who don't, kind of a thing. Like,
right.
You know, like when that parable of the, whatever he was, a vine, he was a, you know, vineyard owner, and said, you know, do you want to work for me? And the first one said yes, and they worked 11, you know, they worked the whole day, and the other ones, everybody gets the same amount, you know, many are called, few are chosen type of thing. I believe, especially with Holy Ghost Revolution, that what he's going to do is he's actually going to allow us into like an intimacy that we, you know, we don't have when you're just doing general evangelism or general healing, okay? It's almost like his secret self, for want of a better word. And he will guide you to, and it's not like you're picking, you're not picking or choosing. We are not going, oh, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, you're good enough for God to heal and you're good enough for God to save. We're not doing that. We are going where it's ripe, where he has tilled the ground, where perhaps other people have sowed and they are ripe and ready for the picking. That's what he wants to do. Okay, because otherwise, if we're running around like banshees trying to get everybody we can, because that whole office, I could have prayed for every single person in that waiting room that, you know, that would have allowed me. There were plenty, probably half to three quarters would not have allowed me. you can just tell, you know, and Australians are, find it difficult. You know, they're probably pretty resistant people in the intern, you know, people who aren't believers, unbelieving Australians anyway. And had I done that, I would have missed the opportunity with this woman that was so ripe for the picking. You know, she nearly fell into my hands. Okay. And he wants to do that with you with evangelism. That's what he's telling me right now. Okay. Okay. So I'm actually going to do the prayer online because I want people to hear whatever he's going to say. And we're just going to go into the teaching from here. Okay. I think he wants the whole deal online. Is that okay with you, Lizzie? I'm just asking your permission.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So I'll just start in tongues. We'll go from there. And this is going to be so fun. You are going to have a blast, girl. You are going to have a blast. I'm telling you, it's going to be like, you know, he'll put lights over people's heads. He does that. Or he'll, you know, their face will light up to you and you'll go, oh, that one. You know, like, he makes it really easy. He doesn't want you scrounging around like a little mouse on the ground looking like, yes. Oh, where do I go next? Where do I go next? Where do I go next? Oh, I have to. The thing that he did for me yesterday when that happened through the day and these wonderful events that happened were, where he led me was that he took the I should out of it.
Yes.
The I should was taken out of the equation. That will kill us in terms of our spiritual growth and our freedom. You cannot have the I should. We don't have to go to the marketplace and go, oh, I should pray for that one. I should pray for this one. I should pray for that one. I should pray. You know, it's become this new burden. You know, I call it the new legalism. And there's still no, freedom in it. It's still not, you're not doing grace. This is not grace. We want to evangelize from grace. We want to heal from grace. We want to be infused with grace. If we're not infused with grace, what are we going to give them? What? Dogma or doctrine or burden? We don't want to do that. We want that Holy Ghost revolution, what we talked about before when somebody last week had said that, you know, people, they had a vision, or no, they went to a church and someone had this vision of people were just going to, you know, touch somebody lightly on the shoulder and the person would get knocked out by God and healed at the same time. That's going to come from, we're not looking to do that. That's going to come from how close we are to Holy Spirit, how much we trust Him, and how we're not doing I should. That's where it's going to come from. So, sorry, now the teaching's starting. And I am going to pray for you, but I'm not sure if I'm going to do it right now, Lizzie. It's just coming out now. This is what he told me. It was like, for me, it was like, I usually know, like I said, at least 5 minutes before we start, he gives me the whole thing. He gives me, okay, the area that we're going to do. But he didn't give me that at all. I almost cried. Because he said, you know, you will know when you start. And I cry. I almost cry. You know, I got teary because I was like, this is really trusting you, Lord. This is like, I don't know what I'm going to, I have no idea what I'm going to talk about to whoever. But now I do. Okay. All he told me is he pointed, somebody had a question and that was what we needed to talk about. So, all right. Now I'm ready to pray. Okay. He's just telling me to go ahead. So I will do that and I'll start in tongues and we'll just let him do what he's going to do. Okay. Lizzie, you ready there?
Yes.
Okay. Sir. Good girl. Okay. Tularia bakashuturia makatia. Kendoria katishina yaruguleria batiatike shoto. Gasturia makatia lialodia bokoshoturia lialodia. Quoleria botoria lialodia. This is what he's telling me, Lizzie. Before I mean, I'm praying in tongues, obviously, so it is praying. It will be a love affair, Lizzie, between you and evangelizing. He's going to give you a love affair. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for that word. We loose that word on earth as it is in heaven into Lizzie's entire being, that you dance your love affair between her and evangelizing the lost. In Jesus' name, Lord, illuminate the people that you have prepared that are ready to receive, that she can pick that ripe fruit and bring them home to you in the kingdom in a basket. It's like a basket, Lizzie, filled with this ripe fruit. And you're going to bring it right to the Father's throne. That's what he's showing me. And it's beautiful, shiny, plump fruit. Those people that you're going to bring to him. And then when you bring the basket, and you're going to lay the basket down at Daddy's feet, then you're going to wave to him. You know, you're going to drop the basket, not, you know, hard, but drop it gently. And then you're going to wave and say, bye, Dad, I got to go now. You know, and you're going to go back. That's how fun it, that's how fun it's going to be for you. Okay, that's, and I've said it before, but Holy Ghost's word for fun is joy. So it's going to be joy. You know, every, you know, you're just going to go back out there, and it's not going to be this trying, and I should do this for Daddy, and what kind of Christian I am, and, you know, am I really a believer? You know, none of that garbage. You will be absolutely, it's just like skipping little girl, you know, like, you can't wait. It's like, I got to go, Dad, I got to go. I love you and all, but, you know, I got work to do, you know. But it's not because you're trying to earn it from him. Yes. It's because you are so secure in him and his love for you that you can't wait to go do it. Okay? That's where it's going to be. That's how it's going to be for you. And I could just see that basket. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that her steps are ordered by you. She doesn't have to order them. In Jesus' name. The pressure's off. We remove that pressure. We remove that stress. We remove that burden. We break its power and the lies of the enemy that come with it. In Jesus Christ's mighty name, we cast them off her once and for all. In Jesus' name, she is free. She is liberated because the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is in Lizzie's life and in her, where the Spirit of the Lord is liberty. He is liberty. In Jesus' name, we awaken that liberty right now. We loose that liberty and we release that liberty for her to live out liberty, embody liberty wherever she goes. In Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you that her basket will always be full when she comes to you, and she will then joyfully skip from your presence in the throne room back into this world that you sent your son and gave your son for, that you love, this world that you love. She will go back in it, Lord. We declare it now. We see it now. With joy. It's all, this is the picture he's giving me in Jesus' name. This is the picture, Lizzie. Okay, you don't just get this. This is so cool. You don't just, okay, you skipping out of the throne room with him, you know, now your basket's empty again because you're ready to, you know, for the more reaping. You don't just go, you know, skipping down the hall, la, 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 la. There is a chute. You jump out down the chute. You're so excited and you're so free because you want to get back there fast. Okay, that's how alive, and I know Lisa had that word dynamic. That's how dynamic his love is. That's how dynamic, it's a great word, dynamic, you know, alive, living, always changing. And you're just dynamically jumping through that, you know, jumping into that chute, and you're just, whew, you know, like the chutes they have, like I think they're in, you know, laundry chutes and all that, you know, you've seen in movies or in, I think in the old-fashioned movies, they had them for when, you know, laundry chutes, that kind of thing, you know, and it's at an incline. Yeah. It's at an incline. You can't help. Once you jump, you are going down, you know, you're just really fast. Okay. So there's no hindrances is what I'm saying. You're not like checking what did you do last time and how was it? And there's no doubt, nothing. You're just like, okay, let's go.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's how good it is. Okay, and you don't have to worry what it looks like. You don't have to worry, like just like when I had that experience yesterday in the doctor's office, I didn't have to go, okay, should I pray for that one or should I pray for this one? Okay, what do they look like? Oh, da da da. All I did is I said, you know, it was even more than being led by the Spirit. It was like, I don't even want to think that there's a difference between us, Lord. You know, it's just. This is how we're meant to be. We are one, and I know because I'm one with you. I don't have to check it every 5 minutes and make sure I got the right answer. Is this you? Is this him? Is this me? Is this the enemy? Is this some person I've listened to online? It was like, we're one. I know. So I knew that woman was someone I needed to go up to. She was so open. You know, and I'd written that up as a post, but I held her hand, and I held for a long time. You know, I mean, well, a couple of minutes is a long time usually. You know, it's not a 30-second thing, 2 to 3, 4 minutes, whatever it was, before she was called. It was like God was grabbing her. It was amazing. You know, and she said, I'm so lucky I came here. Even though she was a believer, but she'd had a really hard time, and she was physically really hurt, and she was emotionally, because he told me to pray for her emotional well-being as well. And she was, yes, yes, you know, when I prayed that. And it's going to be like that. Okay, because evangelism is the same. We don't just have to, throw a bunch of tracts out to a crowd and go, oh, well, however. I'm not saying that's a wrong method, and I don't even like the word method. I'm not saying that's a wrong approach. If someone is called to do that, you do it. You're not called to do that, Lizzie.
Thank God.
Okay? Thank you. You are not called to do that. You are called to be very specific. He's got fruit ready for you, prepared before the foundation of the world, good works, okay? That he wants you to pick, like that man in the DMV, okay, like that. Do you understand? So these will be people you might spend an hour with. You're not going to just, you know, throw a track into their hand and say, Jesus loves you, or you know, or do you know where you're going when you die? It's not going to be like that. And I'm not saying that's a wrong thing to do. I'm just saying it's not right for you. So you don't have to feel that pressure anymore, okay? That's not how you're going to do it. That does not mean you do nothing. This is, you know what I mean? We can go to the other extreme and go, oh, well, you know, I'll just sit here. No. When you're out, you confer with him. He's your master. And you say, well, what do you want to do today? Who is there you want to touch today? You just guide me. You know that I have to go to the drugstore, or I have to go to the cleaners. So you guide me along the way. I'm yours. And say this too, Lizzie. I found this is so helpful. I want it to be fun, Lord. I want to have fun with you, which is joy for him. He wants you to have fun too. He didn't make this to be a torture. You know, didn't Paul talk about that? How it was joy unspeakable? He was, you know, even though he was beaten and, you know, persecuted and all, I mean, not that he enjoyed that. That part, but wasn't there joy? Didn't he have the fullness of joy and all the other ones as well? Because Jesus said he wanted them to have fullness of joy, and us. We're not supposed to be doing this as a dirge, you know, oh gosh, I can't wait till he comes back so I don't have to do this garbage anymore. That is not what's supposed to be happening. It's supposed to be a joy. You know why? Because it's a joy for him. This is a joy for him. When I'm touching that woman, he's excited. He's touching her. He's answering her prayer in the middle of the night when she was crying out, you know, 2 days ago. That's him. And it's not, I'm just a vessel. Yes, a vessel. One. Complete. And what we're doing is sharing that completion with him. And that's how it's meant to be. You know, everything we do, whether it's evangelism or healing or just working, you know, in a job, is a spirit-led experience. And I don't even want that to become the new jargon. Oh, let's be spirit-led. You know, and then that becomes the new thing and everybody dissects that. It's not that. It's loving him. It really is just loving him. That's what we're doing. When we reach out to these people that he died for, we are loving him, but it's not an obligation of love. It's like, oh, Lord, I know, you know, I mean, for me yesterday, it was like there were 20, 30, 40 people I could have prayed for, not just in the doctor's office, but, you know, I had to go shopping and I had to go to the gas station and I had to do, you know, and I prayed for a few, but there wasn't this vigilance, you know, of like you're looking everywhere. Oh, that one. Oh, that one. Oh, that one. We don't need to do that. That's not what he does. That's not how Jesus went around. He wasn't on hypervigilance all the time. You're stuck on I could see it as a dial. You know, you're on the highest level of the dial. You know, hypervigilance. You know, when you never can relax. Well, where's the peace in that? There isn't any. So this is going to be a joy for you. And we just declare that right now in Jesus' name. That joy of evangelism, she's going to have the joy of evangelism, joyful evangelism for Lizzie in Jesus' name. A joy that she can't wait to do it, Lord. That's how it's meant to be, to share your glory in Jesus' name. And every barrier, every wrong teaching, every lie of the enemy, all pressure, all burdens are now broken once and for all over her in Jesus Christ's mighty name. She is free to evangelize through your spirit, Lord, for your glory and in your name. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Liberty, liberty, liberty. Give her liberty, Lord. Total liberty. Hallelujah. So she just jumps down that chute. That's your liberty. In Jesus' name. Can't wait to go again. You know you have liberty when you can't wait to do it. Don't you? When it's something so exciting that you want to just jump in. And that's what he's giving you. That's how it's meant to be for you. Okay. So you might be, you know, in a cafe or whatever, and it's not going to be I've got to seek the lost and, you know, talk to everybody and stand up on a, you know, and I'm not saying don't do that. If someone's called to do that, you know, I never judge that. That's between them and God. But that's not how it's going to be for, I can see you. You're like in a cafe sitting on these high chairs, you know, like how they have the high stools and the tables. It were like round tables or something. It might even be a bar. I don't know what it is. But anyway, and there's people around and everything. And you're really relaxed. There isn't who do I talk to? It isn't like that at all. You know, and you just turn your head and you go, oh, her. Okay. You know, and you're just going to know. You're just going to know whether it's the waitress or whether it's, you know, somebody sitting at another table. And you'll know like this. Listen to this. Yesterday when I was in the, you know, the produce section and the young man who was fixing lettuces and whatever, you know, a lot of the food had been sold already, so he was rearranging it, you know, so it looked presentable. And I just looked at him and he was young, a young man, and I find young men so amazing. They're just coming into their own. They're so beautiful. And me, because I'm, you know, I'm a mom, I can look at them in that way. It's not anything, you know, lewd or whatever. It's just, wow, you started as this tiny, you know, little dot in your mother's womb, and look at you now. You know, you're magnificent. That's kind of feeling. And this young man that I went up to, and he didn't initially need, you know, he didn't want any prayer, but he was thankful that someone would ask. And then I just thought, no, there's something missing. And I didn't even think there was something missing. Just Holy Spirit started talking to me about him. I wasn't even praying for him. And he said he would make a great entrepreneur. I went, is that your word for him? Okay, I better go tell him, you know. So I go and tell him. And he's just, you know, he's shocked. And he just says, I've been thinking about that all day. I said, well, guess what? That's what he says about you. He planted that in you. He knows you. And he told me to tell you because he loves you. And then I went on and tell, you know, because he had been in and out of church, I went on and talked to him about, that's not the God, the one that you, because I know, if you're in and out of church, you obviously didn't get who he is. You know, obviously he's been turned off by all the legalism and the oppression and burden and whatever else. And I talked to him about grace. I talked to him about Jesus. And I said, you know, you might not have known the real God. So you can just say to him, I haven't really known who you were. Show me. You know, and he said, my eyes are really, you know, you've really opened my eyes. And I'm like, hallelujah. Now, of course you go skipping away. What joy. You know, what joy. And it wasn't an effort. I wasn't going, Lord, give me a word of knowledge for him. You know, it wasn't like Holy Spirit interrupted my thoughts about getting the prawns. You know, I was ready to buy prawns. And he said he'd make a great entrepreneur. I'm like, oh, you mean that guy I just talked to? You know, he's like, oh, okay. You know? I mean, I knew in my heart I wanted to give him something more. There was something more to give, but I didn't know what to do with it. So Holy Spirit just took over. And that's how easy it's meant to be. You know, and his life, I'm praying his life will change out of that. To be confirmed that what he thought about himself, what he was thinking about all day, by a total stranger comes up to him and tells him, that's from God, that's what he gave you, and you haven't known the real God because he's a living God. And that's the one who told me about you. I mean, that's going to knock someone's socks off. And That's how it's meant to be. That's what, for all of us. For all of us. This is not a bragging session. Look what I did. It's nothing to do with it. It was like, I didn't even know. How would I know this young guy has been thinking about being an entrepreneur all day? You know, I mean, come on. I only just met him, you know, and our conversation had nothing to do with his, you know, career choices. So that's how evangelism is too. See, it doesn't have to be this weird mass rally or you know, get as many in the net as you can or see how many decisions you can make. It's personal. That's the Holy Ghost revolution. It is personal. We're inseparable from him, so we don't have to worry about how to do it. That's what he really wants to say. Stop worrying about what to do. I'm in you. I'm one with you. We're not separate. So you don't have to figure it out beforehand. Even this teaching, which I thought, oh, this is leaving it a bit late, Holy Ghost. Like, I don't even know when I'm going to call them. You know? Okay. All right. Well, we'll. And he said, you'll know when you start. And as soon as the three of you were on, I knew someone had something. And it might be for Mandy and Ashley as well. I'm not sure. But I knew there was something that was stirring in someone. And when we addressed that, we'd get to that next place. So that's how much we have to trust him. You're like, I don't know the next ordered step. How can I know it? I didn't order it. Well, when we get into trouble was when we try to order our own steps. And we missed, had I gone in that office and tried to, you know, I should touch everybody because they've all, you know, he died for all of them. Oh, the nurses, the front staff, all the people waiting, you know, and then miss the connection that he really wanted to give to that one woman that was ready. And I'm not saying the other people are not worthy. And I'm not saying the other people, you know, he didn't die for. And I'm not saying the other people don't need his touch. But not everyone was going to receive it. And some people are called to, that we might have seen publicly in, you know, this kind of event, you know, power evangelism or whatever they call it. You know, they might go to everyone. That's between them and God. We're not under anybody else's rules or relationship with him. We are not. That is a lie from the enemy. He will use anything good and try to strangle us with it. No, we don't accept that. I refuse that. If that one woman is the one I touched, and okay, the nurse, I talked to her, and I told he gave me a word for her as well, but it was more about her, just her, how well she did her job kind of thing, and, you know, whatnot. The one who jabbed me with the yellow fever. Anyway, but it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like a mass thing. It was a very short, brief encounter. But if I was spending all my time worrying about the numbers, or, you know, feeling obliged, that word obligation, feeling obliged that I had to make sure each one was taken care of and it was my job, as if Holy Spirit isn't involved in their lives. I mean, there was one man looking at me in horror when I was praying for this lady. You know, he was horrified. I mean, he had sedate horror. That's how Australians do it. They have sedate horror when they disapprove. You know, but I still saw the horror, you know, on his face. I mean, it didn't stop me. I was just so happy because she was receiving from God. That's all I cared about, you know. But, you know, I could have made an issue of it and gone, well, let's pick on him because that'll be a real challenge. And let's show how good God is. And, you know, he can talk to him and you know, his presence come and come upon him and all of that. And I'm not saying don't do that. If the Holy Spirit says that, go for it. But we're not meant to do some kind of rules or formulas or method that will stop him flowing in the way that he wants to flow. Because what's happening is so many people advertise what they do and advertise their testimonies and put them up in videos and put them up in words and, you know, whatever. I mean, I put posts up, but I do it. It has to glorify Daddy. If it doesn't glorify him and Holy Ghost and Jesus, well, I'm not doing the right thing. I'm doing the wrong thing. If it makes people feel obligated that they have to go out there, then it's wrong. That is not what's supposed to be happening. He gave me this new little three phrase statement. Be his, share him, love them. That's it. That's pretty broad, isn't it? You can do that in any place. You can do that in your family. You can do that in a restaurant. You can do it, you know, when you're working. You can do it anywhere. And it can be in any, you know, a variety of ways. It doesn't restrict you. You know? It doesn't restrict you. It's like, that's what I got to do yesterday. I got to be his because I love him so much and he loves me so much. He is love. So, wow, you know, that's pretty good. Then I got to share him and I got to love them. And that was it. He did that. It wasn't because I was such an ace yesterday and I had it together. It's that little child. We come to him as a little child. And that's what this revolution is about too. Knowing that not only we're inseparable, but we're not in control. We have to stop that. That is what got us in trouble in the garden. We wanted to be him. We wanted to be God. And it's still happening. It happens in power evangelism. It happens in healing. It happens in all the ministries. We want to be God. Well, guess what? The jig's up. It's over. We're not. But you know what we are? We're one with God. We're one with the source of everything. The source of life itself. We are one with him. That puts us in the most powerful position we could ever be in. So why would we want to be him? Not only, I don't have the responsibility he has. Thank God for that. I don't have to play that role in my own life or in others' lives. And that's another thing that you'll find, you know, instead of feeling guilty if someone doesn't receive him or someone doesn't get healed or someone doesn't grow in their relationship and you've been, you know, maybe mentoring them or helping them or whatever, that is not your responsibility. Your responsibility is be his, share him, love them. That's it. The rest is between them and him. You know, I mean, they have a relationship too, or they have a potential relationship, whether they want it or not. And if we're doing it from that place without obligation and without pressure, they're going to get that love. They're going to get that they matter. They're not going to be offended. And if they, you know, if we find that sometimes that happens, that's not our responsibility either. I'm not saying go out of your way to offend people, obviously, but I'm saying that sometimes people will react in a way where, and we may even think that we're not getting through or that, you know, we made a mistake, it was the wrong one. That's not your responsibility either. The results are up to him.
Yes.
He can take care of that. You know, we can't, because then we're playing God again. And it's just, it's so, we really want to be the people that confess Jesus Christ came in the flesh. We want our lives to be a confession of that truth. And if we're trying to control everything or be God or work it all out for other people or, you know, get every person on the block, then we're not confessing that. We're confessing that, well, just, okay, he came, and he was on the cross, and, okay, he died, and then he rose again. But, you know, I've got to do all this. Because what he did really wasn't enough, because that's what we're saying if we approach it from that place of wanting to control it or feeling obligated or feeling burdened. That's saying he didn't do enough. So let's get, you know, I really feel like it's a disrespect that I've seen in so much in you know, modern Christianity that people spit in the Father's face. By trying to be the big shot, by trying to control others, by trying to control themselves, by trying to make things happen. They're spitting in his face and saying, you know, your son, Jesus Christ on the cross thing, I'm sorry, that just really wasn't good enough. You know, I've got better ideas. You know, I've got to finish your work. What?
Yeah.
That's just horrific. It's horrific.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not letting Holy Spirit, who is the fullness of God, he personifies fullness in us. And without him, there's no fullness. And that's why the church is running around like an orphan, scared, lost, frightened, you know, sick, hurting, because they don't even know.
Sheep
without a shepherd, because they don't even think Holy Spirit's the shepherd. It's like, oh, no, listen to Jesus. Well, who do you think Jesus sent? Where has this disconnection happened? When he ascended,
he said, I would send him to my place.
That's right. That's right. So people, and that's again not confessing Jesus Christ came in the flesh. Because they're saying, well, he's really not the one, you know, oh, this Holy Spirit thing, you know, whoever, whatever it is, it, that's how he's usually referred to. Not even as a person, not as he. It's not, there's no real recognition of him. And without that, how in the world are you going to be able to go out there with such peace about what he's called you to do, or that it's so easy, you know, the effortlessness that it's meant to be? We can't do it without the Holy Spirit. We can't. And that's what people are doing. Evangelism, healing, prophecy, whatever. I don't know how you can do prophecy without him, but there are plenty of people that do. without Holy Spirit. You cannot do those things in fullness and effectively without him. Not just at the helm, but knowing that oneness. Like, I don't have to prove anything. He'll lead me. My steps are ordered. I know. I know that I know that I know I'm one with him. So he's going to take me on the journey. You know, I had somebody say the other day, and I thought it was so funny. I said, you know, he said, you know, when you're going with a friend and you're taking a drive, you don't ask every 2 minutes, you know, so is this the right turn? Are you sure we should go this way? What about that? Wait. Is that bend in the road okay? That's how we are with Holy Ghost. Every 5 seconds. We question him. We want him to justify what he's doing. Are you sure? And that's those that even listen to him. You know, the majority don't even listen. They're not really interested in his input. They rather listen to a teacher or listen to a pastor or listen to someone, you know, that is popular in Christianity. That's exactly right, Lizzie. How can we introduce them to him if we don't even know that we're not only liked, but we're loved and we're one with him? How are we going to be able to do that? You know, then you have to drum it up. You have to conjure it up and make it, you know, okay, what's my spiel today to talk to this person? How can I get them to know Jesus? You know, well, how am I going to get them to know Jesus? Because I know Jesus. it'd be like you having a stranger and you want to introduce somebody to a stranger as a friend, but you don't know the person. How's that going to work? It's going to be pretty unconvincing. You know, why do I want to know this person? It's not natural. It's not only not natural, but it's more than that. It's that you're trying to pretend this person's a friend, or you're trying to introduce them as a friend when they're a stranger, and you don't have that relationship with them. The other person is going to be very mistrustful. Why would I want to know this person that you don't even know? How come you're introducing to me as a friend? That's how we, you know, often evangelism is. And I'm, again, you know, there's no criticism for how other people do it. They can do it however they're led to do it. If they're not led to do it and they just are doing it by a method, well, I'm sure some people will come. But is that how he wants it to be? Because just having people come but not know him is going to leave the person as an orphan. And the even, you know, a grander scale than that is if we introduce them and say, okay, you know, you're about giving your life to Jesus and, you know, and so that not just so you have a ticket to heaven, but, you know, because he wants to fulfill your life and because he loves you and grace and all that, but you never tell them about Holy Spirit, they're going to be in big trouble in 5 minutes in the church. They're going to be told stuff that will destroy their faith sometimes and will cause them to, you know, end up being prodigals. We don't want that. There's a bunch of prodigals running around now because they're like, well, if that's God, I really don't want to know him. Because it's not God. But they've been told the wrong things. So we need to, you know, I feel like just saying this for you, particularly Lizzie, but it's really for all of us if we're going to be in any kind of evangelizing, is that make sure you give them the fullness, the full picture, okay, of yes, it's Jesus. He's the door. Whoever enters in by him will be saved. Then you're one with the Father. And then Daddy sent Holy Spirit to live in you. They need the three. They have to have the three in one or they're going to be lost. So your evangelism, I'm just getting this right now, you're going to have fullness evangelism, okay? And I don't want to make it acquainted as a word or whatever. That's just the word I'm getting. I'm not talking it. Let's call it fullness evangelism, not as a little slick label, but just truly fullness evangelism. You want them to have the whole deal, okay? And that's what he wants. He wants them not just to get saved and then live a life of defeat. He wants them to have that same joy that he's given you. In fact, joyful evangelism is part of it too. So, and that fullness brings that joy, you know, because where do we get joy from? What does it say? Peace, joy, and righteousness from who? Holy Ghost. You know, if we don't have him, where's the peace, joy, and righteousness? We don't get it. We're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, but we don't get to, we're not living that. For you in particular, Lizzie, so we're making this a bit of a personal and a teaching as well, and I think it's what he wants to do today, because it is personal. You know, he teaches through me, and usually we don't share a lot of, you know, whether there's prophecy or prayer or whatever, but he wants that. Today he wants that. He wants people to know, I am a personal God. I do care about you individually. I know the hairs on your head. I know what I made you for, and I want you to be fulfilled, and you'll never be fulfilled until you do what you were made for, not what someone else was made for. Stop being who you're not. That's his big cry. Stop it. Stop looking at other examples and saying, oh, this is what they do, and they look like they're having great success, or this is what they do, and everybody thinks they're wonderful, or this is what they do. Oh, I should be doing that. And it's not you. It's like wearing somebody else's shoes. Ouch. You know, if you get somebody else's, I used to wear Doc Martens when I was, you know, young and wild. And it took you 3 weeks to walk in those darn things to get them form fitted to your foot. And after that, no one else could fit into them. That's what it's like for our call. No one can fit into our call. No one. And when people get jealous of someone else's call, or they go, oh, I wish I could be like you, or oh, I wish I could flow like you, you're like, what are you? You can't. And I can't be like you. We're not meant to be like that. Why would he make many members of one body? And if you know, 80% of them are trying to be like one of those members. That ruins his plan.
Wow.
And his purpose. It's just not his. It's not his intention at all. You do not count. You do not know the numbers of hairs on somebody's head if you wanted them to have the same number of hairs as the guy next door. Because obviously, why would you have to count them if they were all the same? That's how individual he is.
Wow.
And when we try to be something other than we're not.
Why would you make many members of me?
Exactly. Exactly. So different. And when we try to be somebody we're not, we die inside. We die inside. You know, yesterday was such a blast for me because I was being how I am, how he made me to be. And if that meant I did not get to 20 people in a doctor's office, well, there weren't 20, whatever, 10, 12, whatever. But because some other guy somewhere else in the world does that and gets, you know, let's grow all the legs out, or let's do all of this, or let's do all of that. I would have been trying to be that person who may not even be right, let alone certainly not right for me. You know, there was joy pouring out of me. And you're right. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. And it was pouring out. You know, you pour out into his presence into a room. Now, that doesn't mean they all start suddenly laughing. You know, I mean, it may happen. I don't know. I think Mandy has that effect on people, but, you know, I don't. But I do when I joke, but not, you know, just by presence. You know, I just am getting that for you, Mandy. Just when you listen to this, Mandy, when you are... when you are out there and you're being who you're meant to be, who you're called to be, who he made you to be, you're going to have it where people are just going to feel so loose, you know, so free that they can just laugh. Maybe people who haven't laughed in years. You just go into the room and you're not trying. There's no effort at it. That's something that he wants people to have that. He wants people to be able to laugh, you know. Laughter is such a gift from God. And I'm not labeling you, you're the laughing girl or something like that. I'm just saying that some people, if they allow him to flow through them, are going to have that effect on others, okay? You know, we all have different ways. We all have different ways of sharing that. So it's that, it's that individuality, that how he will express himself through us. Like, he has a blast expressing himself through us by the purpose that he made us for. Not what we try to be. Or not when we copy someone else. That does not excite him. That is not freedom for him. That is not liberty. That's, it's almost like a counterfeit. It's a counterfeit. It does. It puts us in bondage. And we don't need to do it. I mean, why would you want to do that? But we do seem to think it's necessary because we see others. And there are a lot of people that are very charismatic leaders in modern Christianity, especially online, because you can get it without ever meeting the person, or you can meet them later, whatever. But, And they can be very convincing. On their way is the way. And this is what you're meant to do. Now, have you checked with Holy Spirit? Is the important question. Is that what he calls you to do? Yeah, that's right, Ashley. Most people don't know who they are, so they try to find themselves through what somebody else is doing, which is ridiculous. We're believers. How can we not know who we are? The only way we cannot know who we are is we have no relationship, personal relationship with Holy Spirit, the abiding presence in us. Jesus said he was the vine, we're the branches. If we cut off from the vine, what happens to the branches? They wither. And we're not cut off. That's the sad part. We're not even cut off. But often Christians act as if they are because they don't know how to be connected. They don't actually know how to just sit in the connection that is truly already there. So they devise all these ways of getting close to God instead of sitting in the fact that they are close to God. They're so close, they're one. You don't get any closer than that. Okay, it's true. The reason we will tend at times to run around, copying others. Again, identity crisis, don't know who we are kind of a thing. But as you said, Ashley, it's a heart issue. And he just said, this is what it is. We feel rejected for who we are. We don't feel we're good enough, so we hide it, first of all, so that we don't even know who that is, because we think it's not good enough. And then we go and copy someone else that we think is good enough. Rather than going to him and saying, okay, you made me. You're the potter. I'm the clay. I'm not going to argue with you anymore and say, you should have made me like so-and-so. I'm just going to ask you, how did you really make me? What is it that you made me for? I want to know. And I want to live it out. And it's so beautiful. It's so sweet. It's so sweet when we do that. It's sweet for him. It's sweet for him.
Reminds me, are you recording?
Yes, I am. Do you want me to pause it?
I don't know if you wanted me to talk or not.
That's fine. That's fine.
It reminds me of a video that Kim Walker had up about God's testimony, God's love testimony for her. And then it was amazing. It was such a blessing. I got to watch this video. And she's a worshiper, and I'm a worshiper, so I could understand everything she was saying. Like, I understood it completely. But she was,
We have to be willing
to get the answers directly.
When we actually have a revelation personally of our oneness with God through Holy Spirit, because he's the one who reveals all things to us, teaches us concerning all things, is the Spirit of truth, then there no longer is this push-pull about identity and I have to do something to be close to God, or the only way I know I'm really his is if I did something and I was successful at it, even in a ministry type of situation. It does have to be oneness first. From oneness, the identity is automatic. You don't question it. You don't struggle with it. It just is the truth about you and him. You're one. And then when you minister from that place, there, you will only minister fullness to those you are touching. There will be no gap between you, between him and them. Because there isn't one between you and them. So what happens sometimes when people are sent out and they have no idea who they are, they're ministering from this place of emptiness and striving and performance and needing to be something. So they want an identity through a label of, well, I go out and pray in the street, or I go out and evangelize, or I go out and, you know, heal in the hospitals or whatever. And that doing, that action then becomes what they're known for, as if God knows them for that. God wants to be known, and he wants us to know that we're known, and he doesn't know us for what we do. He knows us for who we are and who he made us to be. That's what he knows us for. He doesn't forget us suddenly because on last Saturday you didn't pray for four people. He doesn't suddenly go, oh, they're off the list now. Forgot about them. Oh, I hope they start doing things again so I can add them back to the list. We are written, our names are written in the book of life. Forever. Because we're his, we're one with him. We are known. We already are known. And that is experiential for God as well as for us. It's not just being known because I'm a believer. Known personally, individually, hairs on the head, known, completely known. And he wants to be known. I know that we won't see, you know, we will be known when once we get home to heaven. Yes, we will be known. We will know as we have been known. But while we were here, we don't have to do a second class relationship with God. Even though the absolute completeness will happen when we go home. While we are here, he is not giving us a second-rate relationship. He wants a first-rate relationship filled with love, filled with joy, filled with righteousness, filled with glory and absolute liberty to be who we are and to be free with him. That, you know, that knowing is like what it says in Ephesians, one of my favorite scriptures, Ephesians 3:19, to know the love of Christ that passes all knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. That's what he wants to give us here on earth. That's pretty, for that word that gets so overused, awesome. That is awesome. And that know is experiential knowing. Like a man and a wife know each other as one. That's the kind of knowing that he wants us to have of the love of Christ right here, right now on earth. That's his offer. It's almost like free offer. Get it now. We don't have to wait. It's right now. It's right here. That's what Jesus did. He ushered that in, that perfect love. And that again is then confessing he came in the flesh. If we know that we are perfectly loved and we live from that place, if we're going to minister in any way, and whether people, you know, who are listening are in a kind of ministry context or they're not, living our lives from that place of his perfect love is going to transform the people around us without effort. I mean, okay, the effort that you have is minimum, and it would be something like speaking to the person, saying hello, and starting a conversation. It's not this huge production where you have to prepare yourself days in advance to be the light and salt of the earth. We are. We are. And what you said, Mandy, I think is very, you know, it's true. We don't have to do something to be. We are. And the doing isn't even that's not even an issue anymore. You can't help but do. When you know you are perfectly loved, what are you going to do with it? Sit with it for the rest of your life and get fat? You can't help but give that away. Because that's what love is for. It's to be given. It's not for me to sit in it and go, oh, wow, God loves me, God loves me. Oh, I feel so good. Oh, man, this is so amazing. Wow. And just sit there with it? Love is passed on. Love is shared. That's what he did. I mean, you know, Elohim, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, didn't need us to love. He is love. What did he want to do with it? I want to give it away to you, for you, because of you. And what's amazing about it is that he didn't do it out of how good we were, because we were pretty lousy. I mean, look at the garden. It just went downhill from there. That didn't stop him loving us. And that's sometimes where we have to be with other people that may be in a place. This is the hard, this part is the effort part. When people, and it's only an effort when we're not identifying with love. Because see, we are love too. But usually we don't identify as love. I'm a son, I'm a daughter, that's what we call ourselves. And we think that's it. No, we are love. Just like him. Chip off the old block, just like daddy. We're love. That's who we are. That's our identity. So it's not a bad question about doing or being or anything. We're love. If we sit in that for a moment, that understanding, that experience, I'm love. Well, what does love do? And not just 1 Corinthians, 13. Yes, that's important. Yes, it's important to know that, because that's who he is. But what does, literally asking Holy Spirit, what is love like? What does love do? Not like I have to rush out and do something. It's not that. It's like, what's this identity you've given me? I'm love because God and I are one and God is love. So what do I do? How am I love? What's that look like? Let him share that. Almost like I just see it as a pop-up book. When you open those pop-up books and this beautiful scenery comes out, he's like, let me show you. I'll open the book for you. It's a pop-up. This is love. This is you. Multidimensional, more and deeper than you could think. Exciting to touch. How those when you have those pop-up books, you want to touch all the pieces. You want to see how they all move together and everything when you're a little kid. But you don't want to tear them, but it's like exciting. Oh, and you close the book a little and then open a little. Oh, that part comes up, but this part doesn't come up. That's what he wants us to kind of explore the mountains of love, because it's really neat. He wants us to do that. It's an adventure. It isn't an obligation. It never has been. The obligation, do you know what amazes me? The obligation has always been on his part. And who made him obligated? He made himself obligated to us. We didn't make him obligated. He chose that. So when we finally get that we are not obliged from in that sense of burdened or in bondage, because he says you have the spirit of adoption, where you cry out, Abba, Father. You don't go, oh my God, I'm a slave. What do I do? What do I do? And that's that slave mentality that people live in. That's not what he not only died for, that's not what never was God's plan. And what he's showing us is that unfathomable love that he is, get this, can be known. How do you do that? Holy Ghost. There is no other way. We can't do it by ourselves. We can't do it through theology. We can't do it through teachings. We can't do it through listening to somebody else or trying to walk their walk. Through Holy Spirit personally revealing to us the unfathomable love of God. And when you're in that, do you know what? It doesn't matter what you do anymore. It's not about doing. It's not about earning anything. It's not about what you think you were made for. It's not even about any of that. You just are swimming in it. And you and the water start to merge, because he's that living waters that pours out of us. So this idea of being, of feeling rejected for who we are, that's probably one of the greatest crimes of church teaching. That people don't even know that who they are is already accepted in the Beloved. So they never venture out to find out who that is, because they already think it's rejected. So what's the point of venturing out to finding out that you were already rejected? Because that's not the truth at all. And sometimes those people will be angry about it and even aggressive about it, because they're hiding all that sense of rejection. And then that calls for healing. And the only one who can really do it is Holy Spirit. So if we encounter people like that in the church or as prodigals or whatever, we need to, even if they come at us aggressively, because some will, or they'll try to be you know, atheist or whatever it is, as some of you have experienced, there'll be a lot of angst. We have to know how to handle that and not be frightened of it, because it can be very, you know, ugly. But if he, say he leads you to someone like that, I'm not talking about go and find every angst-ridden Christian, you know. Say he does, because that spirit of rejection is so strong over a lot of people in the church, a lot of people, a good percentage of believers feel they're rejected by God. And that's why they then think that, you know, the particular illness or circumstances is because of their rejection, or they've displeased him or whatever, rather than finding out that, oh my goodness, number one, I'm already accepted. Now, who did he make me to be? What am I really for? I remember years ago when I was first saved, I asked him one day, and this is before I understood Holy Spirit or anything, and I just said, I think I said something like this, what did you make me for? And he said, for me, for love. That was it. And I was just like, what? That's why he made us. Do you know that he made us for love? Not just so we could be love and be loving to others. He made us for love. Love out of his own heart made us. We were made out of love. Isn't that amazing? That's what we're made out of. So that's our identity. We are made out of love. We are love. So when we know that, and so obviously we were made from love itself, we must be loved. And therefore there is no need to worry about, are we good enough? Or feel we're rejected, because we were made from love itself, himself. That wasn't, and it's not just our purpose, it's who we are. We're, you know, it's like stars are made out of carbon and all these other, I can't remember what all the ingredients are, so to speak. Our ingredients are love. That's what we're made out of. You look at the recipe of a human being, it's made out of love. Every ingredient is love. How our eyes work. What pumps the blood in our, you know, pumping through our hearts, the soul that he gave us, the personality, the abilities, the gifts, the call. It's all made out of love. That's who we are. We're made out of love. It's himself. So when we get that, the identity crisis just is blown out of the water. That is like, looks like such a joke. It's like, Satan, do you really think that's going to trick me? I was made out of love. Give me a break. I'm not going to fall for that. You were the stupid one who left heaven or got kicked out. How dumb is that? Not me. I was made out of love. I can't be kicked out. Because that makes me one. I'm one with him. Once we receive him, we're one. There is no turning back. Yeah, we can be a prodigal. We can run off for a while and squander all the things that he's given us. Yeah, it doesn't stop him from loving us. It doesn't stop us from being one with him. We don't lose our position. And we don't, and more than importantly, we don't lose our relationship. We kind of misplace it for a little while. That's all. And he knows. We're still known by him. We're still written in the book of life. We're still loved. We're still coaxed back. We're still drawn. He has people chase us down. That's how much he loves us. Chase us. Come to our door. Bump into us. And we're now those people that can do it for others. We can go into a supermarket and know the Spirit is moving us, because we're one with him, to this person, and talk to them. And then be given a prophecy for them and tell them. And they can be completely overwhelmed and realize God's real. And maybe what they were taught in their church circles and, you know, being raised in it and rejecting all of that and feeling rejected wasn't the truth. We can do that now. That's where we live from now. The Holy Spirit's place in all of this is to reveal that we were made from love. That we don't have to ever feel rejected, that we don't live in that reality, that isn't even the truth. It's just one of those lies that Satan got Christians to buy. And that regardless of what other people think of us, that's the hardest one for most human beings, is how other people view us. We take on their view and we give it greater impact and potency than God's view. We have to stop doing it. If somebody says terrible things about you, behind your back, in front of your face, swears at you, does whatever, does that change that you were made from love? No, it doesn't. And so when we're in those situations where people might be rejecting us, or they might say, oh, you're not following the right truth rules, or oh, you've stepped out of line, or whatever it is that they may say, or label you as a particular type of person, do we take that in and receive it, or do we say, no, I was made from love himself. I won't receive that. No, I'm not going to walk the path that someone else has dictated to me because they are angry or rejected themselves. But I also won't reject them. That's the part where we have to do the yielding to him. Not to reject them. That doesn't mean we hang out with them all day or we make them our best friend if they're, you know, if they're totally off track. We're not talking about that. But we're talking about how are we around them? How do we interact with them when they've rejected us? And you know what happens with the spirit of rejection? He showed me this today. The spirit of rejection wants you to reject the person that rejected you. That's the game plan. That's how evil it is. Because that's their real intent, is to get that person that they've attacked with all of this, you know, maligning in their heads, and so that's why they lash out at you. They want you to reject that person because that feeds the spirit of rejection. So we don't want to do that. Even with the church members, even church people that are crazy. Now, we're not talking about, as I said, making them your best friend, because that's not going to help you and build you up and get you on the road to freedom that he wants to give you. But we're talking about, how do we think of them? How do we emotionally engage with them? And what kind of, we want to have a righteousness that dictates how we are with them, not emotional reaction, you know, negative emotional reaction. That takes courage. That's why we have the lion of the tribe of Judah in us. Because when we are faced with rejection, to not reject in return takes a lot of courage. And you know what we do instead of rejecting in return? We love. How we do it in that instance is between Holy Ghost and you. He will tell you. He will move you that way. Most of the time he doesn't even tell you. It's not like he goes, now I want you to stand up and I want you to walk over there and I want you to say, that's okay with me, and pat them on the back. No, he doesn't do it like that. We know how Holy Spirit is. He just walks in you and suddenly you find yourself patting the person on the back. You're going, whoa, okay. Didn't know I was going to do that. That's how he works. We don't have to plan it out. So when we see that, you know, because a lot of the church is rejected and then it rejects. Okay, that's how they work. And then they get rejected in return. That's how it's worked. And that's where a lot of that division is. But and I'm not talking about wrong teaching. Let's embrace wrong teaching. No, never. Absolutely never. Never embrace it. Because you'll become like it. You always go to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth. So it's not about that, but it's about, you know, if people feel undervalued or devalued, they're wanting to control everything because they don't actually trust that they're accepted. So they need to control in order to feel that they're safe. So if we see that about them, we can see that they're vulnerable. Okay, they feel vulnerable. And how we react to it in terms of being love, being made from love, it's going to make a huge difference. You know, if you don't, and I mean, it's hard. Sometimes when you're in the streets, you know, people can be really nasty. It's not like you want to, you know, hug them. But how you react, how you respond to it. If you know that, wait, I'm made of love, so I don't have to take this on as, you know, something's wrong with me. I just respond in love. Holy Spirit, you show me how, because I don't know how. Or in a church situation where you've been rejected or told off or cast out or whatever it is, or given ultimatums, you do this or else kind of a thing, how do we respond to that? And it's not figuring it out. And it's not trying to be Christianese, doing the nice Christian thing. It's actually knowing I was made from love. Take over. Holy Spirit, take over. Because otherwise, our emotions will take over. If we can let him take over, he'll show us what's going on with them. I had a recent incident like that. Somebody got really angry with me. They were swearing and everything. And it's somebody I care about. It's not just a stranger on the street. So it really hurt. And I can tell you, I did want to reject in return. I mean, I was, you know, hey, those thoughts and feelings are coming up. You know, it's like, well, punching the lights out looks like a good option. Okay, those are the kind of things you have. And I went to Holy Ghost with it and conferred with him and said, okay, what was going on that seemed so out of character? I know it's a spirit and all of that, but show me what's going on in the person. Prayed for the person, prayed for the relationship, all of that. And he showed me. This person has been living with rejection all their life. Feeling rejected. So whatever it is that I said that triggered that brought the whole thing to the surface. It wasn't even about me and what the little comment that I made. It was about what they felt inside. But had I not gone to him and stuck onto my feelings instead and said, well, they had no right to say that to me, and how dare they swear, and how dare they say this, that, and the other, I would have been stuck in a place of anger myself. And Holy Spirit revealed to me that the spirit that has run that person's life for most of their life, the spirit of rejection, wants this person to be rejected. Because they can't stay on him if he's not rejected. Because love will not, you cannot stand in the presence of love as evil. Because what happens? Perfect love casts fear out, doesn't it? So if we, when we're in situations like that, and that's what I didn't try to do it. It wasn't like I was trying to be a good Christian. I wanted to punch his lights out. That's the reality. Let's be real here. You know, I'd had enough. It's like, oh, shut up already. That was my feeling. I don't want to talk to you ever again. You know, those kind of thoughts. But when I went to Holy Spirit, he revealed to me the heart of this person. How hurt they were. It wasn't even about what I said, or it wasn't about me. It was about feeling rejected, feeling rejected, feeling rejected. And it just burst out. And now, when I see that person again, my response, I need to not go back into, well, you know, how dare you, and retaliate. I need to go, I'm made from love. What does love do? Holy Spirit, you do it. You do it through me. In Jesus' name. And that's it. That's it. So in any of our situations where we may have had that, and we all get rejected. I mean, that's just reality. That's just living. We can be as he is. You know, it says, as he is, so are we in this world. That's not just about running around laying hands on people. He's love. That's what we're meant to be in this world. Even when they're mean. Not from the standpoint of sacrificing and going in there being, you know, beaten up time and again, you know, emotionally. I'm not talking about doing it in a victim mode. I'm talking about doing it from a place of total triumph. We're on the top of the peak as Christians with God himself. We've already made it up there. We don't have to prove anything. That triumph that he won for us on the cross is living in us now, every minute of every day. We live in triumph. We act like we don't, but we do live in triumph. We are always on the top of the mountain. Always. Because he defeated our foe. He defeated him. Now he comes around and he tricks us and he disguises himself as, you know, Joe Blow up the street and our mom and whoever else, you know, to get us off track. But guess what? He's showing me there's a flag in our hand. We are on the peak of that mountain. There's this big fat flag, you know, with the cross of Christ. I'm always in triumph. What does it say? Thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Well, I'm in Christ Jesus. I must always be in triumph. That's our position. That's our position all the time. So that's why we don't need to run around following, you know, every Tom, Dick, and Harry that's got a teaching or got a method or got a video. I'm in triumph. What do I have to follow that for? I live in triumph. You know, we become triumph personified, and we can show that to other people. that they can have the same. We don't have to be, you know, tossed to and fro by, not just by every wind of doctrine. Yeah, absolutely. Don't do that. But beyond that, we don't have to be tossed to and fro by every emotion, every whim in our heart or our mind or somebody, you know, blatantly putting something on us or labeling us or saying, you're like this or you're like that. We don't have to be tossed. I'm in triumph. I don't care. You can say whatever you like. I mean, remember Jesus? Did he run around defending himself? They're slapping in the face, spitting at him, saying, you know, who do you think you are, basically, questioning him. He didn't defend himself and go, how dare you, I am. He didn't do that. He knew. And we need to get to that place of knowing who we are, made from love, not by reading a million books, not by listening to a million teachings, but by simply communing with him. Holy Spirit who lives in us, who is the Spirit of triumph living in us. I mean, look at it. Without Jesus on the cross, the Holy Spirit couldn't live in us. He is that triumph. He is that flag up on the mountain. He's like, you want to know anything? Guess what? Nudge, nudge. I'm the Spirit of truth. I'll teach you everything. You are not alone. You are not an orphan. You're not by yourself. You're not unwanted. I live in you. That's what he wants us to get as Christians globally. That's what he wants for people to awaken to. Stop acting like you're not who you are. Stop acting like you're orphaned. Stop acting like you're alone. Stop acting like I didn't go on the cross. I've done it. It's finished. I'm yours. You're mine. Let's move on. Let's get to the next level. It's like what Paul used to say, you know, how long do I have to keep teaching you the same things over and over and over? You know, I was thinking of that, you know, the other week, and the Holy Spirit reminded me, you know, because sometimes you're teaching with some people over and over the same thing, and you're like, whoa, how long do I have to put up with you? You start to think like that, not in an arrogant way. It's just, I can't believe you're not getting it. Like, it's so good. How could you not receive this? And then he said to me, they didn't listen to Jesus either. And they didn't listen to, you know, I wrote it all down and they didn't listen to it. What, you think your stuff's better than mine? You know, it was almost like he was saying, hey, get a grip, Jesse. If they didn't listen to you, they didn't listen to me. Isn't that what he said? If they won't receive me, they won't receive you. You know, and not that we're supposed to stay in that, but I'm not talking about, like, you know, sit and complain land or whatever, but for us to realize that we don't want to be the thick-headed ones. I don't want to be the Israelite in complain, you know, mode all the time. It's never enough, never good enough. He doesn't do enough for me. How come he didn't do this? How come he didn't do that for me? My gosh, we live in triumph on top of the peak of the mountain. It's like, you know, it's like being on Mount Everest. I mean, it doesn't get any higher than that. That's where we are, the peak. And we didn't even have to walk it, guys. He stuck us there. We said, yes, I received Jesus. And he said, oh, okay, here you go. You're up on the peak now. And most of the time, we're crawling up this thing, thinking, oh, it's going to take me forever to get to the peak. He's like, you're on the peak. Why are you crawling? We're already there. That's where we're meant to live up from. Triumph. Absolute triumph. In him. In him, in him, in him. Because that's who we are. We're in him. We're made from love, which is him. And we're in him again. And we're made to give that away. Not because we have to. Because it makes no sense when you know that you are love personified on this planet to sit by yourself and just chew on it, you know, and eat it and devour it and not give it to anyone else. You just can't do it. It doesn't happen. You're going to sit in it and you're going to get sick of it. It's almost like having too good of food and you're eating it. You're like a glutton. It won't work. It won't flow anymore. So we need to get to the point where we get it, who we are. Love personified. Made of love, in him, triumph. We are in triumph all the time. And then, hey, go out there because, wow. You know, it's like when you found a new product and you absolutely, you know, it's the best thing you've ever seen, an invention, say, or a new thing, you know, whether it's a, you know, an electronic thing or electrical or whatever, you know, or even a car, who cares what it is. And you want everyone to see it and you want to share it with everybody, not to show off, but you're like, this is the best thing. This is the best thing. That's how we need to be with him. He's the best. I've got to share you. Not out of obligation, never out of being obliged. If we do it from there, we're missing the whole point, and we're not going to be free, and they're not going to get free, because who would want to be under obligation? No wonder people don't want you to talk about Jesus, like, oh, you've got to be kidding. That thing again? You're going to tell me I'm doing everything wrong, and I'm going to go to hell, and I'm a bad person anyway? I don't need you to tell me that. I had my parents do that all my life. That's what they think. To be told that you can be free in him, that you can live the life he called you to live, better than you know, exceedingly abundantly, more than you can think or ask for. People do want that. They do. No one wants to live in misery.
You have your father.